What God is looking for are not church members, he's looking for kingdom disciples.
And Dr. Tony Evans says that's more important than ever in today's culture.
Not talking about going to church, not talking about believing in God. I'm talking about a commitment publicly to Jesus the Christ.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. You've probably heard it said that Christians are supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. Well, today, Dr. Evans explains why that balancing act is often so difficult, as he explores ways to keep our feet firmly planted in the kingdom in the midst of a culture in decline. Let's join him.
I have said it before, and I want to reiterate it again today. Christians have lost home field advantage. We're no longer the home team. If you are a serious Christian, not just a churchgoer, not just a religious person, not just somebody who believes in God, but somebody who believes God, then you are part of the visiting team. That means the crowd is not supporting you. Means the public is not in your favor. There was a time when if you were a serious Christian, you were the home team. You were supported in school, you're supported at home, you were supported in media, you were supported in the culture. Even if they didn't agree with you, they respected you enough to let your voice be heard. But you are the visiting team now. No longer do you live in a land that holds high the Judeo-Christian worldview. And the more serious Christian you are, the more isolated you're liable to be. Many Christians have decided to become treasonists because they want to be accepted by the culture. They want to be affirmed by the culture. They want to be embraced by the culture. They want to be applauded by the culture at the expense of their commitment to Christ and their commitment to God and their commitment to truth based on his word. The question is, how did we survive a decaying culture? Amen. We get some hints at that in Daniel chapter 1. In 605 BC, God's judgment was hurled out against Judah for their rebellion against God. They had rebelled against God, they had wandered into idolatry, and the judgment was to be captured by Nebuchadnezzar and the nation of Babylon. And that is what has happened here. And the saints of God's people were now living on foreign soil. They were now transported from God's place to Babylon, a pagan environment, an environment full of all manner of evil, but that's where they had to live, and that's the way it was. Amen. There's spiritual rebellion, and it is our spiritual rebellion that has helped put us in this mess. And so that's how the book of Daniel opens, Daniel chapter 1, when Nebuchadnezzar, verse 1, besieges Jerusalem. It says, the Lord gave them over. God said, you don't want me, I'll let you hang out with them. They took the vessels of the house of God, verse 2, brought them into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the territory of his God. Do you hear what he said? He went and he took what belonged to the true God and offered it to the false God. Well, if the saints weren't going to use it, the idols would. So everything is turned topsy-turvy. He then says, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, he talks to his official, Ashpenaz, and he says in verse 3, I want you to get some of the sons of Israel, include some of the royal family of the nobles, youth, teenagers, in whom there is no defect, good looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court, and he ordered him to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. The king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, and at the end of which they will enter into the king's personal service. Now among them were the sons of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. These are four boys from God's people who were caught up in the judgment that God brought. They were caught up. Amen. It wasn't that they contributed to it, they just got caught up in it. And so they find themselves in a secular society, and the secular society began the process of brainwashing. In case you don't know it, our culture is trying to brainwash you. They're trying to brainwash you, your mama, and your children. The culture is trying to brainwash you because that is the nature of the environment. We're living in a day when all of the major institutions have become God-denying institutions. Now, there are exceptions. There are exceptions, but I'm talking about what's become normal. You have to look at stuff and hear stuff that your mama didn't have to look at and hear, even when you're watching commercials. The media has decided to brainwash you. And if you don't think you've been brainwashed, look at how unoffended you are now to how offended you were when it first happened. And one of the ways you know it's affecting us is your children have picked it up. Because it's normal. Our education institutions have become pagan. There are exceptions, but I'm talking about what's being normalized. What they are teaching in theory to deny divine facts. Because we are in a decaying culture. First of all, they were isolated. They were removed from their spiritual roots. They were taken from Jerusalem and taken into Babylon. It's like a kid growing up in a Christian home who now goes to a secular Ivy League college. They've been removed from the training. They've been removed from mother and father. They've been removed from their history and community and church background. And now they're in an environment where the environment itself is seeking to reprogram them. So they were isolated. They now couldn't call mama. They couldn't call daddy. They couldn't run to auntie. They couldn't run to uncle because they had been transported to a different environment. So there was isolation. Then there was a new identification. Notice verse 7. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them. To Daniel, he assigned the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. He changed their names. So let me tell you about the names. Daniel. E-L. On the end of Daniel is the name for God, Elohim. It means God is judge. So when baby boy came out of mama's womb, they said, every time your name is called, you're going to be reminded God is your judge. Every time we call your name, by the way, parents, have you named your children? I'm talking about, have you given them a divine way of thinking in their name? Their parents wanted to make sure you can't get away from God because you can't get away from your name. That was not only true of Daniel's mom and daddy. That was also true of Mishael. That's a God name. But what about Hananiah and Azariah? You see, on the end of that, IAH. IAH is short for Jehovah. So the other two had a God name too. One was Elohim, the other was Jehovah. So all of these parents made sure that these kids were raised with a divinely oriented way of thinking, walking, talking, believing, living, and they couldn't get away from it because that was their name. Your job as a parent is to give your kid a divine identity. To raise them in the fear of the Lord, the Bible says. So that they keep running into, like a pinball machine, God. That's why you have family devotions. That's why you don't give them a choice about whether they come into church. In other words, you want to make sure they keep running into God so that you put a bungee cord on them so that if they go left, they have something to bounce back. Now, we're going to do our part. That's one of the things we're doing is we're working on all of that so that we give you and help you have a bungee cord. But let me explain something. The church can help you. It can't replace you. That's your responsibility, particularly the fathers. It's your responsibility to make sure that they're raised in the fear of God.
Dr. Evans will come back with the second part of this timely message when he continues in a moment. Stay with us.
It was my first time meeting Jesus in the Bible. That's what one student is saying after studying bibliology through the Tony Evans Training Center, taught by renowned theologian Dr. Tony Evans. These online courses feature compelling and exclusive video and audio teaching, plus an interactive scripture-based curriculum you can access online or through the mobile app. Sign up now at TonyEvansTraining.org. Take a course with Dr. Evans and explore the kingdom anytime, anywhere. TonyEvansTraining.org.
Now, today's message, titled Surviving a Declining Culture, comes from Tony's brand new teaching compilation, Bold Belief. The Bible has a lot to say about boldness, and in this engaging series, Dr. Evans unpacks biblical truths that will help you learn how to respond to God's call, be filled with His peace and power, and live a life free from fear, empowered by His Spirit living inside you. For only a couple more days, we're making available a special double offer that includes this entire 10-lesson Bold Belief series on CD or digital download, along with a copy of Tony's uplifting book, God is Up to Something Great. This bundle is our gift to you, and thanks for your donation to help support the ministry of The Alternative. It's our way of showing appreciation for the continued support of listeners like you who make this program possible. Get all the details online at TonyEvans.org or call our 24-hour resource request line at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our team members help you. That number again, 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat that information for you again after part two of today's lesson. Here's Tony.
So what did Nebuchadnezzar do? He changed their names. He didn't want them thinking about God anymore. Guess what the names he changed them to? The names of Babylonian gods. So you see, changing your name is not just changing your nomenclature, it's adjusting your belief system. You got all kinds of names out there today where people are being re-identified and reclassified by the environment and the culture. Verse 5, he appointed them a daily ration of the king's choice food. That's the good stuff. And the wine which he drank. And then he offered them a big job with a big salary. Oh, we're going to give you a good job. You're going to make a lot of money. You're going to be somebody because you're going to be working for the government. And so you adjust to your lifestyle if you want to keep this job. If you want to keep making this salary, you must adjust to the training we're giving you in our schools. If you want all this, then you better adjust to us because we got your money, we got your job, we got your significance. We own you. If you name the name of Jesus Christ, only one person owns you. And it is not the secular culture. If you are a kingdom disciple, that means that you are willing to be known as a follower of Jesus Christ, not just a believer in God. You know what they were asking them to do? Get rid of your faith. We didn't already pay for your career. We didn't already offered you a job in advance for when you graduate.
Yes.
We didn't already told you what we're going to pay you.
Yes.
Now, the only thing left for you to do is to bow your knee to our God.
Yes.
And that's where he drew the line.
Yes.
I'm going to go to your school, but I ain't going to give up my God. I'll take your job, but I ain't gonna give up my God. I'll spend your money, but I ain't gonna give up my God. I'll be your friend, but I ain't gonna give up my God. I'll do what I need to do, but once you ask me to give up my God, you have lost your mind. He made up in his mind he would not give away his faith in order to placate his culture. Have you drawn the line in the sand? Is it clear that you've drawn the line in the sand? Have you taught your children, your teenagers, to draw a line in the sand? You ain't gonna take my faith now. I'll give you my best. I'll be your best worker. But don't mess with my faith. Because it's not for sale. So he drew a line in the sand. Now God granted Daniel favor. Everybody wants favor. I've been blessed and highly favored. Everybody wants favor. Well, let me tell you, get favor. Let God see a line. Because if he don't see a line, that means he don't know he can trust you with favor. Everybody come to church to be blessed who don't want to be a blessing because there's no line. You're going to go back, you're going to get blessed today and go back tomorrow and cuss like everybody else. You're going to go back the other day and steal like everybody else. You're going to go back the other day and be secular like everybody else. You're going to be like everybody else, but you're coming for your blessing. Yes. He says, no, now God granted him favor. So have you drawn that line? Is it clear? Not because we're perfect. We're all imperfect. We all sin. That's why God calls us to repent. But is the line clear? Because if the line is clear, you won't even feel the need to repent. He made a decision based on scripture because he was tethered to the truth. He maximized his presence. He went way up the ladder. But all throughout his life and the three Hebrew boys' life, they were drawing lines in the sand. Chapter 3, you remember the three boys in the fiery furnace? And the government said, bow to the government. Okay? What did three Hebrew boys say in verse 17? If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O government, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. There is a line in the sand. And if I got to go to fire, I will be fired. I know that's radical. But I'm not talking about fired because you do a bad job, fired because you're dishonest. I'm talking about because you're not willing to compromise your faith and bow to an evil system. But the good news of that story, you remember, God joined them in the fire. He didn't keep them from the fire. He just joined in the fire and the boss repented. Chapter 6, Nebuchadnezzar is dead. Babylon has been defeated by Persia. They said in verse 5 of chapter 6, then these men said, we will not found any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God. So they came up with a law that you can't pray to any God for 30 days. Oh, Daniel said, oh, no, oh, no, no. Oh, y'all done lost your mind. Y'all are going crazy. No, I give you my stuff at work, but you ain't gonna mess with my relationship with God. So guess what he did, verse 10? He went home, and the author wants you to know he kept his windows open. That's how they knew he was praying. Because they looking in his window. He said, well, I ain't closed my windows all these years. I ain't gonna start closing them now. I ain't gonna be no secret agent Christian now. But he still could have faked it. He could have just pretended to walk around the house. Lord, I just want to thank you. You're such a good God. And I just want to thank you. My boy hit his knees. So you know what he's doing. Because he's not an apologetic Christian. He's not a CIA representative. He's not a covert operative. It should be clear that you represent Jesus Christ in the marketplace, in the public square. It should be clear that you take your stand. Imperfect as we are, it should not be vague. Not talking about going to church, not talking about believing in God. I'm talking about a commitment publicly to Jesus the Christ.
Dr. Tony Evans will come back with a closing illustration drawn from the world of sports in just a moment. But first, what we've been listening to today is part of his powerful new series called Bold Belief. And for just a few more days, we can send you the full-length version of all 10 lessons in this series on CD or digital download, along with Tony's popular and encouraging book, God is Up to Something Great. They're yours with our thanks when you make a donation to help us continue this ministry to a world desperately in need of the good news of Jesus Christ. Give us a call right away at 1-800-800-3222. Our resource request line is always open, so don't wait. That's 1-800-800-3222. Or visit TonyEvans.org to make the arrangements. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for Tony's free weekly email devotional. That's TonyEvans.org. Well, Dr. Evans believes there's a desperate need to reclaim civility in our culture today. And he encourages each of us to find ways to demonstrate kindness to every person we encounter through the course of our day. Our acts of kindness change the atmosphere of our communities for good and for God. Well, coming up next time, someone who's good in the kitchen can do amazing things with leftovers. But even the best of them can't come close to what God does in the story Dr. Evans will tell us on Monday. It's a look at why getting God's best for our lives often means giving up everything else first. Right now, though, Dr. Evans is back to wrap up today's message.
The world is trying to put you and me in a squeeze play. You know, baseball, try to put you in a squeeze play. Try to squeeze you. They're trying to squeeze you. They're trying to squeeze us. They're trying to squeeze the church now. This is coming fast and furious. This issue of religious freedom is becoming a beast. And some of you haven't, but in my position of leaders around the country, we see it coming. We see it coming down. You know, we have to deal with law firms that are defending religious freedoms and stuff, because now they want to now control your life when you bring your faith into it. Okay? They threatening tax exemptions for people who don't do it. If you don't use your facilities for any kind of group now, that community can come in. They'd say, well, now you're discriminating. And so this thing is coming in. So let me be clear. Let me be clear. Okay? We are not, as long as Tony Evans is here, going to compromise this word to satisfy this culture. We take our stand on God's word and on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we do it without apology. Because I want favor. I want you to have favor. And there is no favor if you don't draw a line in the sand.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.